My name is John Lipsky, and I'm moderating this session. This is going to be a good one. We're talking about FLIP, and we're talking about it from three different perspectives. We've got the CDC folks receiving the data and processing the data. We've got technical assistance teams helping with that. We've got the states that produce the data. So I think this will be a very good presentation this morning. A couple housekeeping things. Cell phones need to be off or at least silent. I think that's it. One other housekeeping thing. If you have a question, please don't start talking until I can get you the microphone, because we want folks on the virtual conference to hear it as well. So I'm going to kick us off. Desiree Mustakeem from CDC is going to be talking about the experience from CDC. Desiree is a surveillance epidemiologist with the Influenza Division at CDC. She manages the WHO NERVS lab surveillance system, which collects information on influenza tests and results from its 80-plus reporters, including all 50 state public health labs. She's worked with the FLIP ELSM message for 3 years. Previously, she has worked at county, district, and state-level public health departments in epidemiology and in prevention programming. Her main interest is surveillance epidemiology for all types of conditions. Desiree.
Okay, we're doing a combined presentation, and so I'm going to start with a little bit of FLIP background, and then I'm going to talk about FLIP from the EPI perspective, and then Linda Cohen's going to talk a little bit about the FLIP technical assistance teams, and then Keith's going to talk about more about the lab perspective. So let me start off with the background. Okay. From the beginning of FLIP, before FLIP really started, there was a demand for a way to reduce some of the manual paperwork that goes along with specimen submission to CDC. This is an example of a dash form, which many people are familiar with here. Additionally, for influenza, we have additional forms that you need to fill out as well, and this is all on paper, and so it has to be manually filled out and manually received and entered into the system on the CDC side as well. And secondarily, there was a need for timely, accurate, detailed lab surveillance data. And there were a lot of options for reporting this. And it's kind of overwhelming for the states to keep up with all the different types of methods of reporting this data. Okay, if we look back to public health lab informatics in 2006, there were limited, the public health, state public health labs and CDC had limited electronic messaging capabilities. The various disease programs were operating separately, and there wasn't a lot of collaboration to try to combine those report types. And as I said, I work in influenza, so we would be in our own section having our own requirements, whereas, you know, another disease like foodborne disease might have their own separate systems. And there were also complicated laboratory and IT relationships. There was a lack of good collaboration between the two often. Lab IT, there was a lack of good leadership for laboratory IT. And now we're flash forwarding to this year. Solutions have been developed for lab test ordering and result messaging. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in a second. There are a number of collaboratives built to strengthen lab informatics. It's laboratory and EPI and the IT staff all working together. And there's also more expertise at the state, local, and national levels. How did this happen? We like to think it was as a result, at least in part, of development of FLIP. FLIP stands for the Public Health Lab Interoperability Project. I think the name kind of says it all. It's kind of a mouthful when you say it all out, so that's why we always just say FLIP. There's two main parts of the initial FLIP vision, and one of them was to achieve this bidirectional lab data exchange between states and also state to CDC, and also eventually, hopefully, that will expand to other local labs. And also to the other part of that flip vision was to harmonize tests and test results and use standardized vocabulary. And that's probably where flip is unique, because there is a set of, for each, we use Low-Inc and SNOMED, but we have it do it in a more prescribed fashion. And I'll talk about that a little bit more also in a second. The initial scope of FLIP has been between state public health labs and CDC, or between state public health labs. We haven't yet reached out into that second layer. We're talking about it now, but in the beginning, this is where we were. And through FLIP, there's been a number of built several reusable components with pilot projects that we will be able to use for future uses. Initially, when we started FLIP with the pilot projects, there were basically a set of experts who had gone through the pilot process, who other labs would contact and try to get assistance from, and it was done in a very piecemeal fashion. And we've improved that over the past year for sure by streamlining some of that to make it less burdensome on some of the people who have that knowledge, and try to get that out in a more efficient manner. And actually, Linda Cohen's going to go into this in a lot more detail when she gives her portion of the presentation. So some of the foundation blocks that have been built through FLIP are, and what I would consider to be the most important, is increased collaboration between lab to lab and lab to IT and epidemiology and lab. All of these people are now working together in a more coordinated fashion. Harmonization. We now have a process to harmonize vocabulary that we can use that model to follow for additional disease areas besides flu. We have a harmonized vocabulary set for influenza tests and results, so we can translate that to other areas, and also Salmonella, I believe, because they're going to be piloting eTour. And we've also built a pool of very knowledgeable staff who can go out and actually help at the state level, and this is an efficient way to get the previous animation where we're trying to streamline some of the expertise and get it out to everybody in a more efficient way. And these building blocks support things like eTour, which is electronic test ordering and resulting. We're very close to starting Salmonella electronic test ordering and resulting. As far as I know, it hasn't quite been implemented yet, but it's almost there. And electronic lab surveillance messaging, which is ELSM, and that's what I work with. So right now, that is fully implemented for influenza, and we hope to bring some additional areas on soon. So a broad sweep of what FLIP is working to accomplish. We mentioned the influenza lab surveillance message to CDC flu. That's the message that I receive. RouteNet read hubs, which are used currently for the flu ELSM message, and they will be used for eTour when that gets going. Salmonella eTour is almost up and running. The surge capacity message from state to state, electronic test ordering and resulting, that has been piloted. I don't think it's actually been used yet, but it's been tested. Influenza test order and result messages between state and clinical and commercial labs, I don't believe that's been implemented yet. That's the one thing on this list that really has not been implemented quite yet. And again, I'm mentioning collaboration and vocab harmonization. Oops. So what I'm going to focus the rest of this on is that flu ELSM message. Just a little background before I start on the slide. In influenza, for laboratory surveillance, we have a network of about 80-plus labs. Most of them are public health labs, including all 50 state public health labs, some city and county public health labs, and a few large clinics or academic-type labs. Right now, they have four options for reporting to that system. They can report through FLIP, which we have about 25 states fully implemented in FLIP for reporting of their message. Phyllis replacement, there was an old system called Phyllis, which is patient-level electronic data also. There's a replacement system for that. The problem with it is that it tends to be more open text fields, so it's not as clean when it comes to us, and we have a lot more work to do on those. And then there's two aggregate report forms, which are fax and internet reporting. And they obviously, they're not patient level, they're not automated, so they don't give us timely data, and they don't give us very detailed data. So what labs usually report to us are any respiratory specimens tested and the results of those, and then we use them. We use that data. We compile all those four sources into one for our weekly report. FLIP was first piloted with flu because of a couple of main reasons. One is flu had been using the Philis system, so they showed that they were capable. There were labs capable of reporting at this level, patient level electronic data. Another reason was there was concern about pandemic flu, and at the time the thought was H5, and there was funding available. We were not quite ready for eTour, so that's why Salmonella is piloting eTour. But we will be soon, hopefully. The data that we get now through FLIP is very timely data. We get it several times a day from some senders. It has a lot more detail to it, and we're trying to add more all the time to improve it, more epi data. It's hard to get sometimes, but if it's there, we can pick it up, and we can also make changes to the message if we need to. Currently, like I said, because we have to combine the data with those aggregate report forms, our analyses are pretty limited. This is a graph. It's not very viewable. My apologies. But it's our weekly flu view report, if anyone's seen it. It's just a graph that shows the number of reported flu positives by type. Those different colors on the graph represent different types of flu. And then there's a black line that shows the percent positive. And it's a key part of our report. And right now we do use FLIP data only internally because we don't quite have enough data to put anything out publicly. But if we see something unusual going on, we can get some more detail from the FLIP data. In the future, as we get all 50 states potentially reporting through FLIP, that's what our goal is. And this is wrong. There are 25 in full production because I just passed one the other day. We could do more age analyses, more geographic mapping. We can look at other things. We're very interested in being able to link the lab data with other epi systems that we have. And, you know, much of this is done at the state level. The states do a great job of linking this all up within state, and we'd like to do it at our level as well. So we're working on getting additional information into that we can do that with. And also we're getting ready to, I know that our lab is very excited about the thought of doing electronic test ordering and resulting for surveillance specimens. And as I said, we're not quite there yet, but we're getting close. FLIP in practice. When I first started in my position, FLIP was very difficult to implement. We had, I think when I very first started, there were only two states in full production, and there were two more coming on. And walking them through the process from a distance, when it first started, it was basically another, data messaging and brokering would work on the structural part of the message with the states directly. And then when it came time to look at the content, it would come over to the epi side and we check the content. This is a very manual process. It's very time consuming. We couldn't actually physically go out and help the labs. So the setup was crazy. I mean, it was very difficult and very slow. So the whole first year I was there, we still had four labs on. And then, you know, we picked up, I think, one more in there. And so it wasn't until the past year, and you know, I'm going to turn this over to Linda Cohen, she'll go in more detail, that we've really picked it up. And to get 20 labs on within a year, I wouldn't have believed it if someone told me. So keeping partners engaged has also been a challenge, because sometimes you get into these meetings and you have people who are more of the messaging type people with more of an IT background, and you get the laboratorians in there. And if there's some kind of imbalance, the conversation can easily get taken over by one or the other, and then, you know, someone will check out because they don't understand what's going on. So keeping partners engaged, and you really have to have everyone working together, that's really a challenge. Harmonizing vocabulary can be difficult because everyone doesn't agree on what terms you should use. But really, the beauty of FLIP is that state labs can continue to use their own local code. They've just all got to speak the same language when they're sending the message, so they just translate it. Processing more complex data has been a challenge for the EPI side, and we've had to really work on that and figure out how to do that. And you really need a good degree of knowledgeable technical support by both the sender and the receiver. We all know that the IT staff is in short supply, and especially people who have any understanding of LIMS and some of the needs on that side, on the lab side. The other thing, a lot of people think once they get their message set up, that's it. It's all automated. I don't have to worry about it anymore. There is ongoing maintenance also required. It's not nearly as bad as the setup, but there are occasional tweaks. So at this point, I'm going to turn it over to Linda to talk more about how we were able to have that big turnaround and getting safe.
Thanks, Deborah.
Well, actually, I'm turning over to you.